calling them out next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman for the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you.
Well, great to have you here, Charles. You know, Chuck, as we're moving into summer, especially we're getting into the end of May and going into June, the thoughts turn for many people to thoughts of weddings and flowers and bouquets and dresses and tuxedos and summertime nuptials. But this year, especially, there's a new twist on that age-old tradition, as those who would be arguing for same-sex pairings seem to have been emboldened and are creating some momentum for themselves. First, as we've talked about on the program before, with the evolution of the president on the issue, with the attempts to overturn both the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and, as is happening here in our own home state that we love in Ohio, a group that's out circulating petitions over the summer to try to amend the state's marriage amendment to do exactly the opposite of what the voters put it in place for, which is to protect the institution of marriage as between one man and one woman. This group wants to amend that constitutional amendment to allow for same-sex pairings in addition to one man, one woman, which is exactly the opposite of the reason why it was put in place in the Constitution by a large majority of Ohio citizens in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it like 61 to 39?
So it was like 62-38, I believe. Somewhere. One point something or other.
Right.
But point is, it was almost as big as the one that just happened in North Carolina earlier this spring, where it's obvious that 2004, the marriage amendment was put on the Ohio ballot. Here in 2012 in North Carolina, and the percentages are still that solid. 60+% of the voting populace saying, we think marriage ought to be kept the way God intended it between a man and a woman. You know, Charles, over that time, the arguments have pretty much not changed from the early 90s when gay marriage was being pushed in Hawaii to start with, all the way up through 2004 and the Ohio marriage amendment effort, all the way into 2012 and the push to repeal the protections that citizens and legislators put in place for traditional marriage. Some of the arguments have been that we deserve the same benefits, etc., but when that argument is found to be falling on deaf ears, the argument that you've heard traditionally from those who are homosexual rights activists is that it's a civil rights issue and that they're being discriminated against. Now, Charles, it's interesting because in the past, that claim has been immediately met with opposition from African Americans who understand civil rights, who understand what the costs were for them in engaging in trying to become equally granted of rights as fellow human beings, regardless of the ethnicity they happen to be, and that the civil rights struggle of the, well, going through the entire mid-20th century decades leading up to the Civil Rights Act of the 1965, the Civil Rights Act.
The Civil Rights Act, yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm mentally just froze there for a second.
It's late on Sunday night.
Yes, it is.
As we record it.
But now, 2012, I think that something has shifted, because the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and I was at one of their state conventions in Ohio here a couple of years ago during a campaign, and I understand that African Americans don't call it the NAACP, it's the NAACP for them. Just to be technically accurate, the NAACP basically just came out under their national president and CEO, Ben Jealous, and have changed their position on the issue of same-sex marriage, and they have now endorsed, funny how they've done this right after President Barack Obama came out and evolved his position on it, the NAACP has come out and endorsed support for same-sex marriage. Now, they made this announcement here a couple of weeks ago on the 19th of May, about 10 days after the president made his announcement, and I would say, Chuck, about 6 or 7 days after the first couple of waves of angry responses from black pastors all over the country decrying President Obama's evolving public stance as being inconsistent with Christian values. So what we have here, Charles, looks to me as if this is more of a political positioning than a principled policy stance. And I'm not the only one who sees it that way, because just over the weekend in CNSnews.com, where we're looking at this article by Patrick Burke, Derek McCoy, who is a pastor in Maryland and is also the executive director of the Maryland Marriage Alliance, came out publicly and criticized the NAACP for that endorsement, saying that it is a clear signal that the association is out of step with its constituency.
Well, it's been well known for a long time that African Americans are socially very conservative.
Yes.
For the most part. Unfortunately, some of the first things that happen that are bad in society happen in their segments of society, and it's not because they want it to happen there. It's because they tend to be in the lower economic echelons, although thank goodness that's beginning to change, more and more coming up into the middle and upper classes. But they bear the brunt of those things, and which tends to make people a little more conservative when they can see what's coming and they don't want it to happen.
Well, that's absolutely true, Charles. And I think that's interesting because the NAACP basically, I believe, came out with this position trying to bolster the sagging support numbers of President Obama, whose, shall we say, evolution on the topic, his public announcement of his evolution on the topic, fell very flat. I don't believe that it was intended to do that. I believe it was intended to help strengthen his support, especially his financial support base, among well-heeled homosexual activists and homosexual leaders. But it really had a negative and detrimental impact across the vast base of the African-American community. And as you mentioned rightly, many of whom who have deeply held faith beliefs in the efficacy and the integrity of the biblical definition of marriage, only between a man and a woman, and that this is an affront to the religious beliefs of the African-American community are much more deeply ingrained and deeply held than the political support that that community would give to a Democratic candidate.
Look, the idea that this wasn't a political move is simply they don't understand the president of the United States very well and what he's been doing in an attempt to make political hay. That's okay insofar as he's trying to get reelected and he's trying to create every advantage he can. The problem is he is destroying or disrupting the fabric of society in attempting to get reelected. Unfortunately, he has spent the 3+ years of his presidency tearing up the fabric of society. Now, he's been doing it at a more rapid pace than his predecessors, but he hasn't been doing anything particularly different than his predecessors, many of his predecessors. That being said, this was actually a very cynical move on his part, because what he's looking at is the idea that he can ride out this firestorm, that unfortunately the racial basis of the vote will be such that he can do almost anything and he will continue to receive 90+% of the African-American vote, which makes this a very cynical move indeed.
Well, I think it's a horrible miscalculation in the respect that you're really touching something deep within the cultural makeup of an entire people. And I understand that there's different tensions at play here, because the NAACP in their public announcement is really playing off of this idea of we've stood for civil rights and equal rights for everyone, and that's been our history, and we're challenged to never allow threats to equality for all people under the law to go uncontested. And that was Ben Jealous, who is the president of the NAACP, stating that. So they're trying to set the history and to give the credence and the legitimacy of the actual struggles for civil rights to a group of people who don't have any detriment in their civil rights. Charles, there's no place in this country where someone who is engaged in homosexual behavior, unless they're a felon, can't vote. There's no place in this culture where someone who is engaged in homosexual behavior can't own property. There's no place in this country where someone who is engaged in homosexual behavior can't enjoy the protections of our Constitution.
Well, look at it this way. We can probably dig up the statistic, and I can remember reading it a long time ago, and I can't remember the numbers. The average homosexual income is significantly higher than the average...
It's $67,000 plus dollars per year in homosexual households versus $39,000, I believe, is the average median income in heterosexual households. Yes, I did a lot of this research. I actually wrote a white paper on the... Because when you're trying to prove that somebody's been discriminated against Chuck legally, the courts look at things. They look at political disenfranchisement. And as we talked about earlier, I don't believe that the homosexual community is politically disenfranchised, given the fact that the most powerful person in the country, the President of the United States, is publicly endorsing them. They have to show a history of economic disenfranchisement, but the numbers are clear, specifically clear, that they are actually far and above the average incomes, et cetera, of those who are engaged in homosexual behavior are above the national average by a significant margin.
There's another issue in that they are represented in upper levels of business, government, industry at much higher levels than their actual percentage in the population.
Right, exactly.
Because the actual numbers are somewhere in the vicinity of 2%. The 10% number was blown out of the water long ago. It was the result of some phony research done by Kinsey. That was proven long ago. The actual numbers are around 2% of the population. And the representation of homosexuals, like I said, in the top echelons of business, government, industry, are in numbers much higher than that.
Yeah, it's very disproportionate to the actual demographic numbers. Well, speaking of demographics, I think this is where both Mr. Obama and the NAACP have lost sight of demographics in order to advance a particular agenda. Because if you take a look here, just in April this year, the Pew Research Company, the Pew Charitable Foundations that do research and they do polling, their polling show that 49% of African Americans oppose same-sex marriage, with only 39% saying they support it. Now, Charles, when you've got those kind of numbers, and basically that's a 50-40, so you got 10% that are undecided on this, even if you could swing a good portion of those, you're still losing. It's still not,
that's right.
It's still not a winning argument in your own base. It's not a winning argument among your own ethnic demographic. It's not a winning argument for your association. But yet, and Derek McCoy, Pastor McCoy, points this out very clearly, as he believes, and I believe he's probably right about this, that the NAACP made that announcement because of, number one, as a response to declining membership. Well, Charles, again, demographics play out. If it's 49-39 against the equating homosexual pairings with the struggles that African Americans have historically had in order to gain equal rights with the rest of the country, I don't think you're going to increase your membership unless you're just going to bring in all openly homosexual African Americans into the NAACP ranks. It just doesn't make any sense. The numbers don't work. He also said it was a financial move, and so now I'm starting to wonder if we're not going to start seeing NAACP getting grants from foundations run by homosexual activists such as Tim Gill or the Gates Foundation or others who are engaged in particularly using their money to press this social agenda of the homosexual activists.
And that's the way this works, Barry. As you're well aware, you have been involved in trying to do fundraising and that kind of thing. In order to get foundations to give you money, you have to basically kind of be aligned with the things they want you to do. Otherwise, they don't give you the money. You write the grant request. They look at it to see if it's in line with the things they're trying to accomplish. Then they give you the money if you meet the criteria.
Exactly.
And that's the bottom line here. And you very well, I think your analysis is very astute. I think you're going to see whether or not this has been coming into line with this particular viewpoint hasn't been very lucrative for the NAACP.
No, and I don't believe it will be either. Because, again, this is a situation where the heart of the African-American community is still centered around their churches. It's still centered around their religious leadership. And although you have a split, as we've talked about on this program before, in that African-American religious leadership, some going with their president because of the unique moment in history of having an African-American as president of the United States, and many of them going with the word of God and understanding that regardless of the historic moment of Barack Obama, it is just a temporal moment against the eternity of truth that's in God's word.
That's right. And with that, we're out of time. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.